Parshas Vayeshev brings us into a middle of a very, very exciting, dramatic saga. Yosef and his brothers, absolutely remarkable story. One has to get the background, we all know what's going on, but we have to speak it out and understand over here the koichas, the strength of the various characters, not only of Yosef in this week's parasha, but of various people in this week's parasha, various of the characters in this week's parasha, and learn from them an incredible, incredible lesson. Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef was supposed to be the Bechor. He's born to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is waiting for him to be born in order that he can go back and with his koyach vanquish Esav. Yosef HaTzadik was Eish, he was fire. He became close to Yaakov Avinu. He made him his Talmud Muvuk. And he had dreams. And he dreams, and he dreams, and he tells his brothers his dreams, and brothers not interested, and they hate him, and they take him, and they try and kill him, and he gets saved, and they sell him to, again and again, to various different Yishmaelim, and to various different other, and they sell him to somebody else, eventually ends up in Mitzrayim. Okay, ends up in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim in that time was the sleaziest country in the world. It was known for its znus, it was known for its immorality, it was Memtesh Shari Tumah. And he gets sold as a slave. Slave in those days had no rights, had no dental care. They had nothing, no minimal wages. They could be shot, they could be killed, they could be tortured. Anything you want to do, they're owned like, you know, even animals today have far greater rights than slaves in those days. A slave had never left Mitzrayim. The concept of a slave ever leaving behind, he was so emotionally crushed, never wanted to leave Mitzrayim. And the slave, even by definition, Mabe, Avodim, Mabe, Znus, there's a concept of a Eved being totally always connected to Znus, and Yosef overcame this. He was enticed again and again by Ashes Potiphar, and she, an entire year, tried to first convince him in an attractive way, and then she tortured him, and then she threatened him, and eventually, he has an unbelievable Nesoyan. He comes into the house to do the Avodah, Machleks Rav Shmuel. One said that was it, he couldn't anymore. And appeared to him the Dioknish Yaakov Avinu, and he ran out, he left his coat in her hand, used it as evidence against him, he got thrown into jail. He still kept his emunah, he still kept his betochen, and eventually he became in charge of the prison. He came out of the prison, and at the end of the whole story he actually corrects Pari. Yeah. He corrects Pari. Pari tells him one thing, and he says, Beladai, it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If anybody could have gone through Tzoros and been emotionally scarred for life, being sold by your own brothers, being almost killed by your own brothers, being sold again and again, ending up in a most difficult situation, ending up in a situation where a boy, a 17-year-old teenager, is away from home, amongst all that tumah, amongst all that nisyonos, the terrible trials and tribulations, enticed by the woman of the house, and threatened, and he lived through all that, and he's willing to be moisa nefesh, to go to jail, and even in jail, to have the munim betochen, there must have been a key that held him all the way through this. And the Koska says a vot, which is one of my favorite vots. He says like this. Excuse me. He says, when Yosef Avinu is going out, Yosef HaTzadik is going out to find his brothers in Shechem, the Pasuk says in Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Tes Vav, Vayimtzeihu ish basode. Vayimtzeihu ish. Who's Vayimtzeihu ish? Ish is Gavriel. So Gavriel, Hamalach, is sent. Vehine soye basode. And behold, he's lost in the field. Vayishuleyu ho ish lemoir matavakesh. And the ish asked him, saying, matavakesh, what do you seek? Couple of kashas. First of all, what does it mean? Vayishuleyu ho ish lemoir matavakesh. Just if Yishuleyu ho ish matavakesh. A man should said to him, asked him, what do you seek? Right? Secondly, the whole conversation seems a bit redundant. He still just said, a man found him in a field, and he said to him, oh, if you're looking for your brothers, they're this and this place. He asks him, Leimor Matvach, what do you seek? Says a Kotzka, and if you don't mind, this shear is very much a Kotzka kind of shear. Okay, use this by now. he said the key for Yosef surviving amongst so many Nisyonos was a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The message was, if you want to live through life and do what's right, live through difficult Nisyonos, ask yourself constantly, Leimor Ma Tevakesh. Say to yourself, Ma Tevakesh, what do I really want? Not do I want right now. Ma Tevakesh, what do I seek? What is going to ultimately please me? La'olam and Anetzach Nitzachim. Don't look at the decision right now, what's going to please me in the next 20 minutes or half an hour. What am I going to be really pleased with when I'm standing in Yom Kippur looking back at my year? When I'm standing as an old man looking back at my life? When I'm standing in Olam Haba looking back at my neshama? Leimor Ma Tevakesh. Say to yourself, what do I really want? What is really important? That was the key that the Malach from Shemaim came to tell him this message. Before you go to Mitzrayim, Leimor Ma Tevakesh. Say to yourself, let this be a mantra. Ma Tevakesh. Say to yourself again and again, what do I really want? This week's parasha is all about those people who were able to identify clearly Ma Tevakesh, what they really wanted. And the decisions they made were based not on comfort or desire. It was based on the most difficult decisions, but with a focus on Ma Tevakesh. Let's start with Tamar. The Pasuk discusses Tamar and Perek. Lamad Ches, Pasuk Aleph, Vayhi Be'esahi, Vayered Yehuda Me'es Ochiv, and it talks about the whole story of Tamar. Now, Rabbi Isai, this parasha is a difficult parasha, we discussed it last year. This parasha was totally L'shem Shemaim. Tamar had Nevuah that she has to be together with Yehuda, that from her is going to come out Malchus based Ovid. Without her being with Yehuda, there would be no Malchus based Ovid. There would be no Shlomo HaMelech. There would be no Mashiach. That's it. She had to do this. For the sake of Klaus, she had to do this. And she went through, call it unorthodox options, in order to make sure that she got what she want, what she felt was needed in order to continue perpetuate Malchus Beis Ovid, to create a Mashiach, eventually Mashiach. And she did what she did, L'shem Shemayim. And she was successful, against all odds, enticing Yehuda to do Zanus, the God Lador. She was successful. How? She did what she had to do, and she went through with it. And she did her. We discussed this last year. She did what she had to do. She did her shtadlus. And the Maisa, a Malach came and took away Yehuda's bechira, and Yehuda was with Tamar, and she now has shnei tumim vidno. She is now pregnant. She takes with her as a rovim. V'yemanoichi ashalach gidi izim enatzoin. V'yemen maha rovim. What should be the rovim? What should be the guarantee that he'll pay her the agreed upon payment? So she said, v'toime chasoimcho upsilcho umatcho. Your signet ring, your psilcho. Your psilcho is your. Cloak, yeah, and matcha on your stick, asher biyadcha. We'll see why exactly those three. Later on, it's brought down that they sent to Yehuda to say that he can show Yishchadoshim and Yagud Yehuda leimor zon sotom akalosro, and she's pregnant, and she sends back to her chomia saying ish es asher loy anoichi hora, I'm pregnant from the man who these belong to. Vayaki Yehuda, and Yehuda recognize it in pasuk chavav. Vayoyimet tzad komi meni, tzad komi meni. She is tzodko, she is more tzodik, she is more correct than me, as it were. And the pasuk goes and talks about how she was saved from immediate death. In other words, she was about to be killed, about to be burnt, the most chomer misa, according to some shittas, and she was prevented from being killed by sending Yehuda a remez. If Yehuda never picked up on that remez, Yehuda never took that remez, she for sure would have been killed. Okay? Says the Gemara, Noyach Lila Adam, it is better for a person Shetipol Atzma to Kivshan Ha'esh, and to fall inside a fire rather than Lahabim Pnei Chaveir Barabim, not embarrass somebody in public. Okay? Now let's understand this within perspective, in context. Of course, to embarrass somebody out of the blue, put a one-liner in it which will embarrass that person, of course, it's a terrible thing. Of course. Toma over here, she was on a mission. Her mission was to facilitate Malchus Beis David. She was the mother of Malchus Beis David. If she was burnt by the stake, then there'll be no David HaMelech. There'll be no Shlomo HaMelech. Who knows if there'll be a Beis HaMikdash? Who knows if there'll be a Malchus Beis David? Who knows if there'll be a Mashiach? So she has an agenda, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is clearly helping her. And she sees that she does a little bit of ishtadlus, and Yehuda falls for it, and she's pregnant, and she has twins, and everything's going well. And now she has a nesoyin. What's her nesoyin? Her nesoyin is embarrassing somebody in public. What does she do now? What does she do now? The Gemara says that why do we have Havdalah in Atochinen, Odom Das? The Gemara says, Yishalmi says this. Yishalmi says, Mado oimim Havdalah b'chinen hadas, mipnei she'im ein das, Havdalah minayim. Because if you don't have das, then you can't be able, you're not able to make a Havdalah, you cannot decide between two things. The gadlus of a person, the greatness of a person, is not judged when things are going easily. It's judged when a nesoyin comes up and they're able to keep their cool. They're able to identify the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be mavdil, to identify the matavakesh, what is wanted from me in this stage, even though what they seem until now is facing the opposite direction. She is going in the direction now of creating Malchus Beis David. She's on a mission and she's doing well. All Hashem Shemayim. From her is going to come the Shiach. And now we have a Nesoyin. What's a Nesoyin? Embarrassing somebody in public. Okay. You know what? It's not easy. I don't want to do it. But the ends justify the means. Says Apostle Kno. She was willing to give her life. She was willing to give her ideals. She's willing to kill her children. She's willing to kill Klal Yisrael's future in order not to embarrass somebody in public. She's willing to give it all up not to be over one Issa Sheba Torah. This is a koyach of identifying matavakesh. Being able to throw everything away, what you believed was really important, what you've been fighting for all your life, what you believe is going to has to happen. No. But am I doing something right or am I doing something wrong? If I'm doing something wrong, then I pull back. I re-evaluate. That's the koyach of gadlus. I said this before, Rosh Hashanah Volbe says, there are three times in benching it says, Godol v'kodesh. It says by Shabbos, Kiyoim zeh Godol v'kodesh. Ritzei, yeah. It says by Beis HaMikdash, Habayis ha-Godol v'ha-kodesh. And by Chanukah it says, V'siso shem Godol v'kodesh. So, you can understand by Beis HaMikdash, it's called Godol v'kodesh. It was beautiful, it was big, and it was kodesh. You can understand why Chanukah is Godol v'Kodosh. It was a great victory and it was Kodosh, the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. Why is Shabbos called Godol? Why is it called Kodosh, Shabbos Kodosh, I can understand. Why is it called Godol? What's great about it? What's large about it? Says Rosh Shlomo Volbe, the way we can identify Gadlus is the strength a person has to reevaluate and make decisions based on his completely objective new decision. Shabbos is a stepping back of what you've been doing the whole week. During the whole week you've been running about, driving about, answering emails, answering the phone, making appointments. Shabbos comes in, kol melechtecha osi. I step back. Now's a new decision, it's a new day over here. I'm completely different to what I was before. I step back. Beis HaMikdash is all about stepping back. Beis HaMikdash is, until now, I've been carrying my money bag and wearing my shoes. Now it's all about breaking away from physicality. I leave behind my business. I leave it behind my travels. I'm going now to Mokum Kodesh. That is Godol. Chanukah is believing that everything I have, what I hold is dear. In Gashmias, I'm willing to give everything away for Ruchnias. I'm willing to completely sacrifice myself and my family. The Maccabim went along and sacrificed everything in order to do Kedusha. The Kohen Gadol was not willing to compromise in any Kedusha in order to relight the menorah, and that's why he got a nes. Gdula, greatness, is all based upon stepping back from where you are right now and making a decision. That's Tamar. Tamar was on a mission. She was doing well. She realized from her is her only chance for Malchus Beis Dovid to come and Mashiach. But once a little Nisayan or Bin Malbim Pnei Chaveya Barabim, I'm willing to give my life away and everything I've held Kodesh till now in order to step back and to reevaluate. That's Gadlus. Let's contrast her to somebody else in the parasha, Potiphar. Eshes Potiphar. The parasha says later on, Vayosef hu Mitzrayimo, Perek Lamates, Vayiknehu Potiphar Sris Paru. Says Rashi, what's the connection between the story of Eshes Potiphar with the story of Tamar? To connect the story of Eshes Potiphar to the story of Tamar. Lo yimelecho to tell you, ma zu l'shem shemayim, just like Tamar was l'shem shemayim, af zu l'shem shemayim, so too, the story of Eshes Potiphar and Yosef is also l'shem shemayim. Shirasa b'Israel gudin shelo, shasidin nahamid bamni mimenu. She saw that vaday she's going to have children from him. She did not realize, she didn't know whether it's from her or from her daughter. In other words, she saw as far as she was concerned, she has to have children from Yosef. I can see it. The stars tell me. And therefore, she wanted to connect with Yosef. L'shem Shemayim. How can you compare Tamar, the daughter of Shem, a Tzenua, to Eshes Potiphar, the wife of a butcher, an executioner, a mitzris? The Torah says no. There was an element there of Shem Shemayim. But look at her, the Shem Shemayim. When she wanted to follow through with her gender, the Shem Shemayim, what didn't she do? She tortured Yosef. She threatened him. She lied about him. This is a difference of somebody where it came to the crunch time of the Shem Shemayim, which comes into conflict with one halacha in the Torah. She didn't step back, and she tried to forge through. She tried to force her gender through. Eventually, she became the epitome of a shakronist, willing to put somebody into jail because her gender didn't follow through. This is a koyach of being able to step back and not. And the gadlus of our gedolim, the strength of our gedolim has always been to re-establish, to look into, is it really important? Is this Ratzon Hashem? If it is, then I carry on. If it's not, then I stop. Now the Chazon Ish, when he still lived in Vilna, before he came to Eretz Yisrael, he had a minhag. His derech was to basically he used to learn by a table with a candle, and during a week he never slept on a bed. He fell asleep. He learned until he fell asleep on his hands. And then he'd sleep for a few minutes, then he'd wake up again and carry on. That's how he slept. He never slept on a bed. He had a tiny little house, and it came to be that a stranger came and asked to stay by the Chazon Ish. So the family explained to him that there's very, very little room in the house. The only room there is where the Chazon Ish learns. So, you know, we'll put a bed in there with pleasure, but you have to understand that the Chazon Ish will be learning and the light may disturb you. So the person says, I'm so exhausted, I'm so tired, all I need is a bed. Light does it, a little candlelight won't disturb me. Don't worry about it, I'll be fine. This man comes, and he lies down on the bed. As soon as the Chazon Ish saw him there, he put out his candle. And the first time in years, the Chazon Ish stopped learning and went to sleep. What's going on? Where's the Bittul Torah? Where's the Sforim? He's got Sforim to write. What's with Klal Yisrael's future? Yeah, but that's disturbing somebody sleeping. I put out my candle. I reevaluate. But he's never done that before. I didn't have to do that before. Now I have to do that. Now I reevaluate. That's godless. The Volozhin, the yeshiva, Reb Chaim Volozhin, opened, he made a revolution and he reopened the old style yeshivas in Europe. Not the Lozhen yeshiva was, not Gadlus was, and he built the yeshiva up, and his son and his grandchild took over the yeshiva. And then the communists came along and they wanted to put in a few hours a day the Mudei Chol into the yeshiva. What did the Tziv say? If that's the case, I'm closing the yeshiva. The Velozhen in the yeshiva, Rabbi Isai. It was the yeshiva. It wasn't thousands of yeshivas then. That was the yeshiva. That is the future of Klal Yisrael. So a few hours a day, the Mudei Chol. He's not teaching Buddhism. He's teaching mathematics. He's teaching science. Efshar Adar Rabba. You can even become a doctor rabbi. Not in my yeshiva. Not in my yeshiva. If that's what if they want to put their foot into my yeshiva, I am not going to carry on that yeshiva. I'm closing down my yeshiva. But your grandfather started, what reshus do you have? I have the reshus to reevaluate. And the decision that I make is binding. That's godless. That's the difference between Tomor and the difference between Rachman and Litzlan, Ashes Potiphar. To stand back. And I've always listened to this story. Not only do the Gedolim have the koyach to reevaluate and change their course, the Gedolim have a koyach to reevaluate and continue on their course if they believe that's important, however painful it may be. We talk about the Kotzke say Matavakish. Okay? Listen to this story. I said it before. The Chedusha Harim. The Chedusha Harim.
Get the exact details.
The Kedusha Harim was the son of was a Talmud by the son of the Koznitzer, Rebbe Yochim from Koznitz, son of the Koznitzer Maggid. And he felt he once went for Shabbos to Pshischa, to Rabbinim from Pshischa, and he felt that his avodah was by Pshischa. He evaluated, re-evaluated his mahalach, and he felt he's got to go to Pshischa. Every time he went to Pshischa on a new trip, one of his 13 sons died. He reevaluated and he felt that is Ratzon Hashem, this is a Nisoyan. And he went again, and another one of his 13 sons died, until every one of his 13 sons died. And he felt it was the Kepeda of the Koznitzer. And he said, it doesn't matter. That is Ratzon Hashem, that is who I have to be. Ma Tevakish. This is an incredible story, and he took over from the Kotzke Rebbe. Yeah, Mata Makish, it doesn't matter. If somebody has a Kepeda, okay, but I have a Avodas Hashem, I've got to follow through. That is Ratzon Hashem. Sometimes to make a U-turn, and sometimes to plow ahead forward, if you know that is what Rabbi Yishonah wants. Leimoy Mata Makish. And this is something which is my Rebbe used to say, Rav Chaim Kalfi says over and over again. The Pasuk says, Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirloif. What's that? Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirloif? Tzedek, Tirloif. What's Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirloif? People run after justice. People run after Magiali. People run after what they're entitled to. He said, Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirloif. When you're running after Tzedek, Tirloif, do it with Tzedek. Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirloif. When you're running after justice, make sure you do it with Tzedek. Make sure, Chas v'shalom, nowhere down that line there's a lack of following the dictates of Shulchan Aruch, even Nayota, l'shem Shemayim. People do the most crazy things l'shem Shemayim. They're stuck in a rut l'shem Shemayim, and they don't realize that they reevaluate, maybe make a U-turn, maybe don't kiss Iranian president, maybe don't kiss Arafat. Maybe don't stand and say the Israelis should be banned. Maybe not. Maybe I'm. Who am I to stand up against these people who obviously are from a Yidden, quote unquote? But l'shem Shemayim. Do you know what the Kotzke said? The Kotzke said, "Penina l'shem Shemayim is chavno." Penina used to heckle and tease Chana, and it said Penina meant it l'shem Shemayim and she should daven better. Says the Kotzke, "Azach Zorius." Such terrible cruelty can only be if it's based on l'shem Shemayim. Nobody can dare follow through to be so cruel unless you have. I'm doing it l'shem Shemayim. This is the koyach of l'shem Shemayim. The koyach of Tomah was to stand back, and if it's l'shem Shemayim, and I've got an agenda, but now Kodesh Baruch Hu is clearly telling me not to do this, I'll throw everything away. Because that is Ratzon Hashem right now. I'll throw away the Voloshin and Yeshiva. I'll throw away my night's learning. I'll do everything because that is now Ratzon Hashem. I'll make a U-turn. Sometimes the Ratzon Hashem is to give up my 13 children to carry on learning by being a Peshischa. Fine. That's Ratzon Hashem. Ma tevakesh. That's a koyach. And that's Peshat, a beautiful Peshat in this week's parasha Reuven. The parasha brings by Reuven. It says that Reuven came back to the boyer. V'yeshev Reuven el haboyer. It's a pot in Perek Lamed Zayin Pasuk Chof Tes. V'yoshev Reuven el haboyer. Reuven came back to the boyer. V'hine ein Yosef haboyer. Yosef is not the boyer. V'yikres begodim in Torah begodim. Says Rashi. Dova Ache, where's he coming back from? Dova Ache, Osuk Hoya Besakui Betanisoi. He was Isaac in his Saka Tanisoi. He is Isaac in Tshuva, Al Shabulbel Yitzue Oviv, because he swapped round the beds. At that time, he swapped round the beds when Rochel was Nifta. He took the bed from one and put it into his mother's tent. See, that was Yitzue Oviv. He was doing Tshuva. So the Yalkut says, on that, the Yalkut says, that be Reuven posak b'yalkut k'siv v'yoshev Reuven el haboyer mehechon bo shoyo osuk b'sakui b'tanisoi. He's being osuk in sakui tanisoi. Omer Kadosh Baruch Hu, ato pitachto b'tshuva, you began the process of tshuva. Chayecho, I promise you, ben banecho oimed oipisech b'tshuva, that your grandchild will be known as the one who began what we know as tshuva. Shabbos tshuva is from Hosea, correct? And that was a great grandchild of Reuven, and therefore you are zoicha to tshuva, the first one to do tshuva. So your great grandchild will make tshuva Yisrael Hashem lekachol be known as the one who perpetuates and creates a new focus on tshuva. Asks all the Balei Musar, what do you mean? Reuven was the first one to do tshuva. What about Adam Arishon? Adam Arishon did tshuva. And when he got his tshuva, he said, Miz Shiliyam Shabbos. He did tshuva. Cain did tshuva. He says, Cain, the prophet says by Cain, he says, He did tshuva. How can he possibly say Reuven did tshuva? So the Dalek Musa brings two pshatim, and these two pshatim are very powerful. The first pshat is he brings that Adam Arishon only had one mitzvah, and he messed it up. When he never had that one mitzvah, it was very clear to him that he did something wrong. Therefore he was Arumim Hain, that's all they were Arum. They were naked from mitzvahs. He hadn't done a great deed yet. And therefore he felt he got to do tshuva. In other words, he was Muchrach. He had to do tshuva. He didn't have any other mitzvahs. Cain as well, Rabbeinu Shalom said to him, Cain, what are you doing? Where's your brother? He had to do tshuva. He was Muchrach to do tshuva. Over here, Reuven had just come back from saving his brother's life. And therefore he could have felt, you know what? I wasn't so great. But now I saved somebody's life. Ah, what a tzaddik I am. Baruch Hashem, this chus that I have of doing this gewaldige mitzvah, save my brother's life, for sure Kodesh Baruch Hu is meichel me. Says the Pasuk, no, immediately afterwards he carried on doing tshuva. He still felt he got to do tshuva. That was godless of Reuven. Even when he wasn't completely intellectually bound to saying, I've got to carry on doing tshuva, and he still carried on doing tshuva, even though he could have had the excuse that I did such a great deed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu surely meichel me, that is the godless he did tshuva, and that is the godless Yalkut says. But the Dalek Musa says something else, and listen to this, Rabbi Yisrael, you've got to hear this. Dalek Musa says, to be able to do tshuva on a chet is not that difficult. A person sees he did something wrong. There's a taiva, and unbelievable. You do a chet, you do something wrong, so eventually you feel bad and you do tshuva. That's something that's not that difficult. Adam Rishon did a chet, he had his taiva to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and he ate it, and he felt bad afterwards, he did tshuva. Cain, he killed his own brother, you know, somebody missing now from the family photos, he felt bad, he did tshuva. The gadlus of Reuven was, he did not do tshuva on an avera. He did tshuva what he thought was a mitzvah. And to do tshuva, when you think what you've been doing till now is a shame shemayim, and to step back and say, no, maybe it wasn't a shame shemayim, maybe I've got to do tshuva, maybe let me reevaluate, that is gadlus. He thought that what he was doing was clearly l'shem shemayim. He was doing it to look after his mother's cupboard. Now Rachel's not the main wife. Yeah, Leah should be the main wife, or a maidservant should be the main wife. I'm standing up for my mother's cupboard. That's what I'm doing. And he did it l'shem shemayim. Later on, he said, no, maybe I didn't. Maybe Yaakov was right. Maybe it was wrong what I did. To do tshuva on l'shem shemayim, that's what's difficult. And that's godless. Your whole life you think you're doing something shame shemayim, and then you realize, no, maybe I didn't, maybe it's wrong. To do tshuva on that, that is godless. That is petachta b'tshuva. You started a new level of tshuva. And that's peshat in the Shabbos Shuva, it says, Shuva Yisrael ki kushalta ba'avinecho. Ki kushalta ba'avinecho. You are nechshal what you thought was an avera. Nechshalta b'zeh shechashavto sh'ato eisa mitzvah. You thought you became nichshal, what eventually came clear that it was vera, but you thought at that time it was a mitzvah. Ki kashalta b'avinecho, you thought when you're doing it it was a mitzvah, really it's an avera. Interestingly, the Akim Musa says this, and exactly the same thing the Kotzker says in the Mudei Emes. Exactly the same thought. To do tshuva for an avera is easy. To tshuva for the shem shemaim is that difficult. We have a chavrusa. Yeah, people to avreichim, to bochrim, learning in yeshiva and kol, learning chavrusa, and you're trying to get clear pshat in Rabbi Kiva Eger. And one says one pshat, and the other guy's not getting it. He's got different pshat, and you're fighting. There's a certain moment of truth where suddenly you realize, oh, Tucker, maybe he is right. Do you step back and say, you know, you're absolutely right. You're right. I'm sorry. You're gewaldig, shkoyach. Or do you carry on fighting until the bitter end, even though you know you're wrong? A husband and wife. The husband does something. The shame shemayim. Yells at one of the kids. The shame shemayim. Sake of chinuch. The wife comes and says to him, you know, you shouldn't have done that. And it's covered now. Talking about the shame shemayim. And it turns into a massive row. And it goes backwards and forwards and forwards and backwards. Right? And at a certain moment of time, he realizes, you know what? My wife's got a point. What happens then? Do you step back and say, a pause and say, you're right. I'm sorry, you're correct. Or do you carry on fighting to the bitter end until you pummel the poor thing into blood and flesh? Is that what it's all about? The shame shemayim is a godless. The greatness of a person is to apologize. The greatness of a person is to turn around and say, you know what? I am wrong and you are right. It could be the shame shemayim, it could be the future of Klal Yisrael. But if the other person is losing out by it, if the other person is suffering by it, if the other person is doing, if I'm inflicting a chas v'shalom, going against the Shulchan Aruch in any way, one way or another, you've got to step back and reevaluate and say, you know what, I've got to do tshuva, even if what you believed until now was a shem shemayim. There's so much more to say. I just want to finish off with one beautiful piece over here of the Shemishmol. The Shemishmol, the Sochetshova says, why did Shidavka ask for their roving of the psil, of the stick, of the cloak, and the signet ring? So the Gemara, the Medrash Rabbah says, Nitznatza bo Ruach HaKodesh, she got grabbed by Ruach HaKodesh. Chasoimcha zu Malchus. The signet ring is Malchus. And he brings a pasuk. A signet ring is like a king stamps down, it's Malchus. Pesilcha is Sanhedrin. The Pesil is Sanhedrin. Why? Because they're able to be Mitzionin Kapsil. They're able to identify Halacha correctly to see carefully what's considered Kla Ilon, what's considered Cheles. They're very careful to identify Halacha all the way to the end. And Matcha, the stick, is Melech Meshech and brings a Pasuk. Okay? Explains the Shem Mishmol. The Gemara says Toma Zinso and Zimri Zinso. Both did Znus. The Gemara says in Nozir Dav Chof Gimel Amad Beis. They both did Znus. Toma did Znus and Zimri did znus. Question: how can you compare one to the other? Chas v'chalila. The Torah says both of them did it the Shem Shemayim. Both of them began the Shem Shemayim. Okay, both of them began a certain element of Shem Shemayim. Toma started Shem Shemayim, and Zimri started. Toma, what's the difference between Toma? Abba Shaul says, we're all learning Gevomus. Hakoynis esivim to l'shem noi ki ilu pegeir be'ervo. If a person is doing a mitzvah and there's a chasaron in the Shem Shemayim in the mitzvah, it can disrupt the entire mitzvah. She was doing a mitzvah, lishma. But if she felt there's any minute iota missing of the Shem Shemayim, she's going to back out. A melech is somebody who's able to control the borders of his country. She was controlling her mind, controlling the borders of her mind. Sanhedrin is able to control the halacha. They control halacha. And Mashiach is able to control Klal Yisrael. Is to control the future. It was total control from beginning to end. And if at any moment I identify there's something flawed in my logic, I will step back and close down the entire project. That is godless. On a daily basis, we're not confronted with huge projects that we're doing in Shem Shemayim and suddenly it's going to spin out of control. Sometimes we are. But when it comes to, you've got a neighbor who's upsetting you, and the Shem Shemayim, yeah, you believe that the Shem Shemayim, for sake of looking after your family, mechuv to do this, reevaluate. Maybe you're wrong. And if you are wrong, be big enough, be godl of a kodesh, big enough to step back and to apologize. There's a family feud going on for generations, going on for years. You and your brother, you and your father, you and your mother. Who knows? And it's a Shem Shemayim. No, I can't back down. I back down, I'll be Chil Hashem. Silly ideas like that. Be able to be godl of a kodesh, big enough to step back and to say, you know what, maybe this other person is right. And if they are right, be willing to step back, because that is godless. That is greatness. That is Tomor, that is Reuven, that is Yosef. Leimor matavakesh. Don't look at silly, petty ideas now and say, you know, do I come out big now? Look in the future. Will you be big in the future? Leimor matavakesh. That's Velozhin, that's the Chazon Ish. Some people do such foolish things with Shem Shemayim. I told you in the past. Rav Pesach Kron once said, Rachman the son of Nebuchadnezzar, a little dwarf, a little midget, a gutz came into shul. Right? A little dwarf came to shul. There's a man at the back of shul, he's never been the kind of mitzvah of saying, Mishana Habriyas on a dwarf. He was so Shem Shemayim, he was so inspired to keep this mitzvah properly, he picked up this dwarf and took him to the front of the shul and shook him like a lulav. And Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Mishana Habriyas. And with that bracha, he went straight to Gehenna.